from 1 Corinthians 16, verses 13 to the end. 1 Corinthians 16, verse 13. Be on your guard. Stand firm in the faith. Be courageous. Be strong. Do everything in love. You know that the household of Stephanas were the first converts in Achaia, and they have devoted themselves to the service of the Lord's people. I urge you, brothers and sisters, to submit to such people and to everyone who joins in the work and labours at it. I was glad when Stephanas, Fortunatus, and Achaicus arrived, because they have supplied what was lacking from you. For they refresh my spirit and yours also. Such men deserve recognition. The churches in the province of Asia send you greetings. Aquila and Priscilla greet you warmly in the Lord, and so does the church that meets at their house. All the brothers and sisters here send you greetings. Greet one another with a holy kiss. I, Paul, write this greeting in my own hand. If anyone does not love the Lord, let that person be cursed. Come, Lord. The grace of the Lord Jesus be with you. My love to all of you in Christ Jesus. Amen. Thank you, Tom.
Good morning. Well, we've got a good-sized congregation. About 20 of our fellowship are away on their life group weekend, so it's good to see you all. First of all, I want to say thank you to Keith and Jill for leading that remembrance time. I was really challenged, stirred, blessed as we spent that time together. So thank you very much. I wonder if I can move this back a bit. That's better. First of all, before we get into chapter 16, I want to remind you that this is a letter. A long letter, but it is a letter. And if you've got your Bibles, in verse 21, Paul says this, I, Paul, write this greeting with my own hand. Many times when Paul writes his letters, you'll find that towards the end of one of his letters. That's because he dictated the letters, but then as he got towards the end, he would grab the quill pen from whoever was writing it down and scrawl out in his handwriting a final greeting. I think that's really lovely. That's a lovely human touch. In the reading we had, picking up from verse 15, this man Stephanas is mentioned. Stephanas and his household were the first converts in Corinth. And what we know is that Stephanas and these other two men, and we don't know much about them, Fortunatus and Achaicus, had visited Paul in Ephesus. Paul was in Ephesus, which was across the Aegean Sea from Corinth. If you look on the map from the from Corinth, you would be going east to get to Ephesus, which is described in the New Testament as in Asia Minor, which is modern Turkey. So these three men had visited Paul and stayed with him for a while in Ephesus, and almost certainly they came with a list of questions for Paul that the church in Corinth wanted some advice about. And so all the way through the letter, we've noticed every now and again, Paul says, now about so-and-so, or about that problem you mentioned. And twice in this chapter he does, in chapter verse 1, now about the collection. And then in verse 12, now about our brother Apollos. So these three men had come with questions, and Paul wrote this long letter, and part of the letter was to answer those questions. That's to set the scene. One of the pictures we saw on the screen was of the Invictus Games. 3 weeks ago, in the Invictus Games in Sydney, there was a tennis match happening. It was wheelchair tennis. And they were having a really competitive match. If you've ever watched wheelchair tennis, they are amazing. And they were having this match, and one of the players, an Englishman on one side of the net, was about to make a shot, and just as he was about to make the shot, a helicopter flew over. And he completely froze. He missed the ball. Why? because he'd been in a war zone and the helicopter triggered something in his mind. I think he probably dropped his racket. Certainly he missed the ball. And the whole crowd watching this amazing competition wondered what would happen next. His partner in the match was a Dutchman, and he wheeled his chair to his partner and he put his hands on his shoulders and he touched forehead with the man who had frozen. That's the description of what had happened. And he said, "It's okay. We're team." And I was told in the newspaper article about it that many people in the crowd were in tears as they saw this wonderful demonstration of love and compassion and understanding and teamwork. They got going again, and the man who was on the side who had frozen, he and his partner, won the match. Why am I telling you that? Because that, in one sense, is what this last chapter is all about. When you read this last chapter of Paul's letter to Corinth Community Church, you might think, well, the last chapter's a bit just unimportant. It's just a list of names and a bit of news. Nothing like the big, serious issues of 1 Corinthians. But when I started to prepare for this message, I realized that actually chapter 16 is absolutely crucial to our understanding of the gospel, our understanding of the Apostle Paul, and our understanding of what it means to be team today. Many people refer to Paul as a giant of the early church, and that's true. He was. He was an incredibly gifted and talented man. God used him in amazing ways. He was educated in the best Jewish university. He was a scholar of the Hebrew scriptures. He was an apostle, an evangelist, a preacher, a teacher, a church planter, and a writer of scripture. But Paul could not function on his own. He was a team player who also knew the importance of training younger leaders who could take over from him. Remember, nearly every time in all his letters when Paul says "you," he's not talking to an individual. We in the Western Church often interpret the New Testament as if it's to me. It's not, it's to us. It's plural. And that's what this chapter is about, and that's why it's exciting. And that's why I chose Serving in Fellowship as the title for today's talk. Serving Jesus Christ, serving the gospel, serving the King of Kings is what the Christian life is all about, but it must be done in fellowship, in team. And when one of the team drops their racket, what do? We go and comfort them. And say, "It's all right, we're in this together." And I want to apply that theme in four ways. First of all, Paul in chapter 16 talks about money. "Now about the collection for the Lord's people. Do what I told the Galatian churches to do. On the first day of every week, each one of you should set aside a sum of money in keeping with your income, saving it up so that when I come, no collections will have to be made." Paul was organizing a collection for the church in Jerusalem, who were going through a really tough time. Partly because there was a famine, but partly because of the persecution, they were really in need. And that's where the gospel had come from. So Paul is saying to all these churches in Macedonia and Asia, "Let's have a great big collection. And next time I go to Jerusalem, I'll take it from all the churches as a love gift." We do it together. And remember, it doesn't matter how much we can afford to give. Paul said in verse 1, save up some money according to what you can afford, according to what you've got. Jesus said the widow who gave a little tiny coin gave more than anybody else. But it's fellowship. One of the things I love about Forefront Community Church is its commitment to give. Not just money, of course. Time, effort, love, hospitality, all sorts. But we're thinking this morning about finance. David and Rona and Angie and I were in a prayer group yesterday morning that met in our house of people concerned to reach Muslims with the good news of Jesus. And we were talking about Ben and Emma and praying for them. And David told the others who hadn't heard this how wonderful it was that when they went back in September, worrying that they didn't have enough money anymore to support themselves, because Ben had given up his job in a very posh international school where he was paid a good salary, to work in a little Christian school where missionaries' kids could come, and his salary suddenly went boom, like that. And we had an email from Emma early in September, I can't believe it, it's amazing. 80% of our supporters come in, and there are Christians all over the UK, different churches who are supporting Ben and Emma. Give in fellowship. We don't know half the people. We don't know a third, a hundredth of the people who are supporting Ben and Emma. We're doing our bit because we're the sending church, but it's a fellowship thing, serving in fellowship. Many of us will be going to St. Mary's Church on Wednesday, midday, for Ron Clark's funeral. I remember Ron standing here very early on in our time here in Forefront, probably 9 or 10 years ago, and he was talking about the danger of holding on to things, and he just stood here with his hands out like that. And he said, if you keep your fists tightly closed, not only do people miss out on what you can give them, but you miss out on what God can give you. I've never forgotten that. Such a simple... That's what Paul is saying. Look, you Christians in Corinth, just learn to give generously, and God will bless you in all sorts of ways. Not by putting £1 million in the bank, by the way. That's not what the Bible teaches. That's nonsense. But God will bless us in amazing ways when we open our hands and give generously, serving in fellowship. But then he goes on to talk about something else. Now, you might say, where on earth do you get this about prayer? Well, in verses 5 to 9, you read it when you get home. Paul chats to the people in Corinth and says, I've got some plans for my ministry. I'm not quite sure how it's going to work out yet. I think I'm going to go back through Macedonia, and I will come to you, but I'm not sure when, and there's a lot going on here in Ephesus, but I want you to know that I will be coming one day. We often get emails from Ken Barrett in Spain, and he says things like this. Please pray, I've had an invitation again to go to Peru to do some Bible teaching in their Bible school, but I'm not quite sure when I can fit it in, and I'm not sure if I'll get a visa, and I've got so much to do here in Madrid. It's just like Paul. Why does Ken send us that letter? So that we could pray. And that's what Paul is doing here. He's saying, I've got these plans for ministry, but I'm not quite sure how it will work out. So please, will you pray for me? In many of the other letters, he actually spells that out, particularly in Ephesians. He says that several times. Pray for me that I will preach the word of God boldly. And that's what Paul's doing here in chapter 16. And so when we pray, we need to pray together for the work of the gospel. Last Sunday afternoon, in our monthly missionary prayer group, Alan and Carol Simpson were with us. They're now having a real break. They needed it in their lovely rented flat overlooking the coast near Weymouth, having a rest, recharging their batteries. But last week they were in the prayer meeting, and at the very end of the prayer meeting, Carol said this, I just want to say thank you to Forefront and especially to the missionary prayer group, because we couldn't have done what we did on the ship for the last 2 years without your prayers. That was very moving to hear that. I know that's true. There's a dear lady in Bridgnorth called Jean Banks who has been our prayer warrior ever since I left teaching in 1980 to start working at Bridgnorth Baptist Church. And there are many others up there as well, but I always think of Jean, who prayed and prayed and prayed. And that's why we were able to do what we did in the churches we ministered in. And we get emails regularly from Alan and Carol, Ben and Emma, Ken and Allison, Eunice Burden, our son, our daughter and son-in-law, Patrick and Deb, and so on it goes on, Mike Strange. They need our prayer support. And Paul is saying just that here in this chapter, and encouraging the church at Corinth to really be part of the team. And one famous Bible teacher of the 19th century said, "We don't pray for the work. Prayer is the work." We need to be prayer warriors. So, we serve in fellowship in finance and in prayer. But we also do it in ministry. Team means together everyone achieves more. And Paul knew that. And in this chapter, he mentions some of the people who are very, very precious to him. For example, in verse 10, he talks about Timothy. Timothy was this young man who probably, when he went on the first missionary journey with Paul, was maybe only 19, maybe 20. He was very young. But he was a keen Christian, and Paul could see potential, and he invited him to join the team. And he trained him, he mentored him, he encouraged him, he wrote letters to him. That's the only one of the only times when Paul wrote letters to one person, and the "you" in that letter does mean you, Timothy. But all the others mean us, church. So Timothy had been mentored, encouraged, trained, and now Timothy was being sent out to the churches to sort out problems. One of the things I love about Forefront is that our church leadership team are committed to training young leaders. Andrew Conlon had this vision, and it's continued to work. I think it's wonderful. So many churches, when the vicar or the minister or the pastor leaves, the church stops. Oh dear, what are we going to do now? Praise God, we're not in that kind of church. And Paul was not a one-man band. And then in verse 12, he mentions Apollos. Now, this is one that was on the list that Stephanus brought. They probably wrote and said, "Paul, we really appreciate Apollos' teaching ministry. Could you send him along? We want to have him come and preach in our church again." And Paul says, "I've tried to persuade him, but he's not ready to come yet. He's got lots on his plate, but he will come one day." It's all very human and real. Instead of quick emails, it was a long letter that took weeks to deliver, but they did it. Apollos was very helpful to the church in the early days. And now the church is saying we'd love him to come again. And then we come again to Stephanus and Fortunatus and Achaicus. I've mentioned them already. Look what it says in verse 18. "For they refreshed my spirit and yours also. Such men deserve recognition." Now, as far as we know, Stephanus was not a leader of the church in Corinth. He was sent as a servant to go and see Paul, and then he would carry the letter back. Can you imagine carrying this scroll back and saying, "We've got a letter from Paul"? But Stephanus and his friends refreshed Paul's spirit. That's a wonderful ministry. I remember when we were very busy in the church in Bridgnorth, and we had this young lady living with us for a year. I ended up being best man when it was her wedding, and Deb was one of the bridesmaids. And she was a dental nurse, and one day she said to me over tea time, she said, "You and Angie need a break." So I want you to find a time, and I'll look after the children when they come in from school. I'll get home in time, and I'll do the cooking. We can manage without you. So we contacted some dear friends, parents of one of our church members who lived in Banbury, and we went and we had a few days with this dear couple. It refreshed our spirits. It was something that Julie felt she wanted to do, to encourage us and help us. Stephanus was like that. He refreshed Paul as he arrived. And then, verse 19, the churches in the province of Asia and send you greetings. Aquila and Priscilla greet you warmly in the Lord, and so does the church that meets at their house. All the brothers and sisters here send you greetings. This was a fellowship of churches round Greece, the Roman Empire area, really, that's what it was. And they were keeping in touch with one another. We can do it by phone and email, but they were doing it by travelling to each other, encouraging one another. Aquila and Priscilla are an interesting couple. They were a husband and wife team who led a church in their own house. And they were very important in the early days at Corinth. And then, of course, he says, greet one another with a holy kiss. There are many churches, South Chard was one of them many years ago, who felt that that should be part of our tradition now. If you go to France, everybody kisses everybody, don't they? But it's not part of our English culture. So when South Chard and other charismatic churches started bringing the holy kiss into their church services, it was a bit startling. But whether you like that idea or not, the whole emphasis is an emotional hug, an affectionate greeting, a real relationship, real fellowship. And that's what Paul is writing about. Can I just say one thing about ministry? This is team ministry. In many, many churches in Britain, in the West, and sadly, they've in Africa and many other places, they've copied what we gave them. There is what we call one-man ministry. I want to tell you that is totally unbiblical. And one of the dangers of that is that we have a dominant leader and a church of spectators. Whatever else you say about Forefront, we're not spectators. This church would not run without all the volunteers who do all sorts of things in lots of different teams. Praise God for that. So Paul is saying in this section, I'm so glad I'm part of this great big team. I must move on. On the front of your new sheet, the Bible verse I've given is this one. And I've put this comment. Paul repeats what he said in the last verse of chapter 15. And that was the verse that Keith particularly focused on last week. This is what chapter 15, verse 58 says. Therefore, my dear brothers and sisters, stand firm. Let nothing move you. Always give yourselves fully to the work of the Lord, because you know that your labor in the Lord is not in vain. Here, in verse 13, he says, be on your guard. Stand firm in the faith. Be courageous. Be strong. Do everything in love. Paul loves this church and has this message for them. Be on your guard, plural. All of us, be on your guard. Stand firm. And that's difficult. It was difficult for the Corinthians. They lived in a hostile, anti-God, anti-gospel culture. We live in a hostile, anti-God, anti-gospel culture, don't we? So we have to stand strong. We have to be courageous. How do we do that? By encouraging one another. If you see one of the brothers or sisters having a tough time, getting scared, getting nervous, getting anxious, get alongside them, love them, pray for them, encourage them, invite them around for a meal, do whatever it takes to encourage them in their walk with the Lord. And see what he says? Do everything in love. Verse 14. Paul knew that the Corinthian church, their biggest problem was disunity, squabbling, selfishness, self-centeredness. And what he's saying here is, let's get together, folks. Let's love one another. Let's work together. And then Paul has a final message for the church. Verse 22. If anyone does not love the Lord, let that person be cursed. Judgment will come on all those who refuse to bow the knee to King Jesus. And the Greek word, because the New Testament was written in Greek, the Greek word that is used there is anathema. We still have that word in our language, don't we? Things that we hate, things that we despise. It's anathema. And those who disregard the gospel of Jesus Christ will one day, not now, but one day, they will face judgment. Our job is to keep on loving them, keep on being merciful, to keep on sharing the gospel with them, because they might yet come to Jesus. But when they see Jesus face to face, he will say, get away from me. I never knew you. Anathema. But then, if you read the authorized version, the next bit, come Lord, is actually an Aramaic word. The New Testament was written in Greek, but every now and again in the Gospels and in some of Paul's letters, you suddenly come across an Aramaic word. That was the language Jesus used. Isn't that lovely? And Maranatha means come, Lord. So right near the end of his letter, he says, Jesus is coming again. Hallelujah. Great news. Come, Lord, we're waiting for you. That's Paul's final message to the church. And then, as he comes to the end of his letter, he says, the grace of the Lord Jesus be with you. My love to all of you in Christ Jesus. Paul has had to say some very tough things in this letter. He has exercised apostolic discipline. He's rebuked the church for lots of things that were going wrong. But notice, he doesn't write them off. He loves them dearly. He longs to see them again. He's in fellowship with them. And this needs to be the mark of Forefront Community Church. We need to be people who share the fragrance of Jesus. And in every letter that Paul writes, he begins and ends with grace, peace, mercy, love. And so this wonderful letter ends as it began, the grace of the Lord Jesus be with you, and the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit. Serve Jesus in fellowship, in unity. That's the message from God to us today. Amen.